Hey, if you got your Bibles here this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 13. First, we're going to look at the first part of verse 13 here in just a minute. But before we do that, we're in a series on love here today. We are in week 3 of 5, really, on the subject of love. What is love? How can we live in love? And man, we are really, really enjoying this series. I know I am. I pray you are as well. As we talked about love, you see 551. Everybody say 551. That's a lot right there. 551 times we are commanded to live in love. Wear love in everything we do. Display love in everything we are. Love is to be the root of everything we are. Because how many know if love is in the root, then love is in the fruit. And we got to understand that, friends. This series is and has been designed to help put love at the root, to help put love at the wellspring of your life, and let everything you do, your actions, your reactions, your words, etc., be drawn from and grown from a place of love. So when you live in love, friends, know you leave behind results. So with that, friends, I mean, imagine if we lived that out. If we lived out love, we become who God intended for us to become, and we accomplish what He set us, what He intended us to be on this earth to accomplish. There's a scripture that illustrates this, and it's the one we're going to look at here. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, where Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." Can we say that scripture together? 1, 2, 3. You are the salt of the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. God, how powerful and truthful it is, for it is power and it is truth. And we pray, God, that today we have an encounter, an experience, that we would marry your word here today. And God, that we live it out in the lives you've given us to live, Lord. Guide me, I pray, every word I speak, that I would be an echo, God, not another voice, God, of what you're saying to us, your people here today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are the salt of the earth. First of all, who is the you that Christ is talking to? If you look in that chapter, I mean, this is the infinite Sermon on the Mount, right? And at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, you see that there's this great crowd that gathers. And we've always kind of had the impression that Jesus started out talking to the crowd, but he didn't, because it says that when he saw the crowds, he went and sat up on a mountainside, and his disciples came to him, and scripture says he began to teach them. Now, it's very interesting because it's, you know, by the end of the sermon, which is end of chapter 7, it says, and the crowds were amazed at what he was teaching. And so it really kind of gives way to this narrative that you have a really eavesdropping crowd that's out there. Because he started the Sermon on the Mount talking to just the disciples. I don't know if they just started to slowly make their way in, hearing what he was saying. But by the end, everybody started hearing this. But you see, at the beginning here, which is where we're at, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Jesus is talking to put that scripture back up there, if you would, Darren. Jesus is saying this statement right here to the believer. He's talking to those who follow him. Those who, you know what I'm saying when I say that, those who not only hear the 551 commands for us to live in love, these are the ones that live out the 551 commands for them to live in love. And so with that understanding, he provides this parallel in this statement here with the believer and something called salt. And he says, you, Christ follower, are the salt of the earth. Salt. Why salt? Am I like the only one that just thinks that Jesus gives the weirdest teachings? And I'm like, because I just don't take anybody for their word. It's just like, why? I want to know why. Like, why do you say salt? Man, Jesus, you are a weird teacher sometimes. And I don't know, I think that, but I think it's what causes me to dig in to find out why he uses the things that he does and why he says the things that he does. And so I'm like, salt. Okay, we're the salt of the earth. Woo! I don't even know what that means, right? So I just started digging into salt. Not into actual salt, but I dug into what salt is. And I found, you know, just as far as its history, its uses, you know, in our world and all that stuff. And there was a salt company, when I came across my study in the 1920s, that put out this ridiculously mammoth-sized list concerning the uses of salt. They said, you know, that salt does so much more than we think that it does. It does more than many other chemical compounds or elements do. Salt removes rust, they were saying. Salt seals cracks. It removes spots on clothes. It puts out grease fires. It kills poison ivy. It treats sprains. It cures sore throats. It cures earaches. The salt industry, they were saying, claims 14,000 different uses for what they call salt, this extremely underappreciated substance. Because how many know today everybody has salt? I mean, everybody has salt. It's nothing big. It's virtually universally accessible, and it's relatively cheap. I think you can buy it for under 50 cents at Aldi's. However, if you go back to this scene, and this is kind of where it got interesting, where Jesus is talking here 2,000 years ago, not today where you can buy it for 50 cents at Aldi. 2,000 years ago, salt was surprisingly difficult to obtain, particularly in the mountainous regions, which is where they were. And so it was a highly valued trade item. I mean, up until the 20th century, you may not know this, but salt was one of the prime movers of national economies and wars. Like, it was a prime mover. In the Middle Ages, salt was known as white gold. In the first century CE, Roman soldiers here, I mean, this is at the time of Christ, some historians suggest that Roman soldiers were paid in salt. Like, it was a valuable item. And I'm reading this stuff, and I'm like, wow, this is kind of cool, because I'm drawing the parallels here. And maybe you're already kind of seeing some of those great parallels, you know, that Christ is saying that I have great value. But I wasn't satisfied there. I wanted to dig in, and I'm like, why else did he use that phrase? Why else did he parallel us to salt? It can't be just because we've got value. I wanted to look at the primary purposes and uses of salt during the time of Christ. And this is what I found, you know, outside of trade and outside of value. And this isn't one of those messages that's going to stab you deep, all right? This is like one of those messages that can serve to be like a more you know and give you an appreciation for what Jesus is saying about you. But check this out. These are the three primary purposes of what I saw and studied salt to be during the time of Christ. Number one, not much different than today, it was used for taste. I mean, even back then, I mean, it was something that, they didn't have necessarily one of these, but it was something that added, you know, it was something that helped. They used it for the purpose of taste. And it's very interesting why we use salt, because here I am just being a critic again. Do you know why we use salt for taste? Not just because it tastes good. I mean, there's a reason. We crave salt as people. We crave it. And actually, I begin to dig into the medicinal part of it, you know, the science and behind it all, the biology behind it all, that we as human beings not only crave it, we crave it because we need it. This is what the nutritional fields and the biological experts will tell you, that we need and require a proper balance of salt in our bodies to survive. Which is why our taste buds demand them. So many medical reasons. I mean, I was digging into it. It was really cool. It's why it's so good for us to have a proper balance of salt in our diet, and what salt does in our bodies is quite amazing. We get the breakdown and all that stuff. But one of the things that stuck out to me while I was digging into the taste part is that salt is a bitterness suppressant. Salt is a bitterness suppressant. This really intrigued me, because it means that it has the power to remove the taste of bitterness. It has the power to remove the taste of bitterness. It blows my mind. And on top of that, it is a flavor enhancer. I'm talking scientific fact, that it is described scientifically to have the power to enhance, to enrich, to heighten the flavors of our food. It makes the potato potato-er. It makes our food foodier. Like, it's incredible. Think about that. That right there has the power to do that. Isn't that interesting? And I'm looking at that, and again, I'm seeing the parallels to love in the life of the believer. The believer living in love, let me tell you something. Love tastes good. It's a flavor that enhances. It's something that enhances the flavor of God's word. Did you know that you and I have the power to enhance the flavor of God's word? That if a believer were to do more than just read it, but they were to see it in the life of a believer being lived out, it enhances it, it enriches it, it heightens it. It's a bitterness suppressant. I mean, no, love is a bitterness suppressant. I'm talking, you put love into a room. I've had meetings with people that were full of bitterness, like bitter. Just. You ever been in a room with somebody that's just extremely bitter? You can just see it on their face. You can see the, and all I'm thinking is, all you need is just a little love, baby. That's all you need. Let's remove this bitterness. And I ensure that my reactions are not bitter reactions either. I'm not going to allow bitterness to breed bitterness. I'm going to react with love. I'm going to react like I would with something bitter on a plate that my mama made me eat when I was young. I'm just going to throw some salt on that bad boy. And I am going to remove the taste of bitterness in the room. And when I react with love, when I show love, when I ensure that it's on my countenance, when I ensure that it's on my words, when I ensure that it's on what I'm saying and how I'm saying it, I begin to watch that bitterness. I will begin to watch that bitter attitude turn right there in that room. I remove the taste of bitterness from the room just with love. You and I have the responsibility of taste, friends, to the world around us. Jesus is saying, you're the salt of the earth. You help enhance, enrich, and heighten the flavors of my word and my ways. You have the power to remove bitterness when it's present. Second thing that I saw was that salt was used as a revealer. Salt was used to reveal. Now, I don't think, again, it's quite interesting that a lot of these parallel into uses today, and they haven't gone away, that as we are in this season right now, we know this all too well. When you got snow on the road, right? What comes out after that? The salt trucks, right? What the salt trucks do is they literally just come and they spread salt. Just by doing this right here, by just putting salt on the road, it melts the ice. It does more, however, than melts the ice. It reveals the road. It reveals the path that we need to be driving on. How many know it's important when it's snowing to be able to see the road that you're driving on? When snow comes up, when ice comes up and covers the path you're traveling, what happens? You can't see where you're going. It's difficult to track where you're headed. And I see that parallel right there, friends. A believer living in love paves the way. A believer living in love shows the way. They reveal the way. I have met people who have attached themselves to my life. I have seen people attach themselves to your life and say, I couldn't see the way. I couldn't see where I was going. But when I got into a community of faith, I know where I'm headed. We're the salt trucks, man, that go out on the roads of life, and we clear the way. We show them the way of God. I got to serve with our parking posse. I think it was a week ago or a couple weeks ago when it was super cold out. And it snowed that weekend. And I'm just waking up that morning in my beautiful warm bed. And God said, go serve with the parking posse this morning. And I was like, how cold is it outside right now? You know, it was so cold. I was out there 10 minutes. You could barely feel your face anymore. Like, people thought I was smiling to see them. I couldn't stop smiling. My face was frozen inside of that, you know. I was like, hey, you know. It was crazy. And I remember just watching when I had arrived, there's our parking posse just putting salt down on the parking lot. It was just awesome to see them clearing the way so that people could make their way in without slipping, without falling, without hurting themselves. It's a dangerous condition out there that the world puts down, isn't it? It's a dangerous condition when you're trying to walk and you're trying to drive on icy roads. Mike Sherbanenko, who's serving downstairs in our kids' ministry right now, we live about a quarter mile from each other. He lives right up the road from me. My wife and I, last winter, were driving, and we pass his house every time we go. We pass him and Jenny's house. And we were driving up this road, and Mike has two entrances into his house, and one entrance comes down off of this hill, and it kind of has this little bridge that connects, you know, the road to his house. And I watched him as he was driving his Jeep, and he was pulling in while I'm leaving. He's coming into his house, and I'm watching his Jeep come into his house. And the Jeep starts to slide, and it slides into the driveway right off the bridge and starts to roll down the hill. And I it was like one of those moments where it's like, is this real? Like, am I really seeing this? Like, I can't believe what I just saw. And from the road, you can't see what happened, but I saw it happen, and it was just insane. So I pull away, and I go down in his other driveway, because I didn't want to follow, you know, suit. I didn't want to try and go rescue him. We rolled up on top of him, you know. So I go on, and I'm running up that hill, which is tough to do, running up an icy hill. I look like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo just trying to get to him, you know. And I'm like, hold on, Mike, you know. And I finally get to his Jeep, and his Jeep's being held off from rolling even further down the hill off of this tiny tree. And I was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? And I unzip the back of that Jeep, and I'm screaming for him, and he's not saying anything. I can't see him in the front seat. And I finally got a out of him. He'd almost been knocked unconscious. And we were able to call an ambulance at that time, and we were able to get him out. And it was just so wild in that moment. I mean, not only was it weird how the timing worked, where I saw him when nobody else was driving down that road, but that we were able to rescue him, but to see just how dangerous it was for somebody to make a right turn on an icy road. What it can do. What does salt do? And I told him, you need to put salt down on this driveway, you know. But because what does salt do? Like, it makes the roads, it makes the path, it makes the places of life not as dangerous to travel on. And that's what we do, friends. That's what we provide. How many people in this world right now that are outside of these walls, all they need is just to experience and see the love of God clearing the way, revealing the path, showing them that the road that they are so desperately looking for as they travel, I mean, that just has icy conditions right now, slippery hopelessness. I mean, all they need to see is us, friends. They need to see hope. They need to see help. They need to see faith. They need the salt of the earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in their case, The god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbeliever, meaning they can't see, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What an image of a world out there traveling without sight of the road that they're supposed to be traveling on. What's our job? To show them the way. It's not that they don't have the ability to see the light. It's they cannot see because of what is around them. But when we come into the mix, the salt of the earth, the light of the world, we not only clear the path, we show the path. We're the salt of the earth. Come on, somebody say a good amen. And lastly, number three, the purpose of salt was used to preserve. Now, this is interesting. Oh, my goodness. This is a 50-pound brine block of salt. All right. I'm going to put that there at the start of the second service. Amen. So I don't have to carry that. Like, it's not that they had brine blocks back then, but to kind of give you a visual understanding, that salt back then was used to preserve. It's actually the greatest form of use in that day. Because there was no refrigerator. They didn't have Frigidaire back then. So this is how, right there, that they would preserve meat and they would preserve milk, is they would pack it around salt. And it was like down in the ground. And it was used as like this insane ancient invention of a refrigerator. And what it did was it kept the meat fresh. It kept it cool. It didn't allow it to corrupt. It kept it from corruption. Once food came into contact with the walls of salt, it would be preserved from decomposing. Because without salt connecting to it, the food would perish. I'm just seeing parallels, right? As I'm sure you're seeing while we're saying this. And it's another interesting use, that salt also preserved as a disinfectant. You ever heard the term salt in the wound? Like that's how you would use salt. If you had a wound, they would rub salt into the wound, because salt also serves to be an antiseptic to prevent from infection. It preserved. It helps heal. It helps keeping things from corruption, from decomposition. Are you seeing the parallel again? Love in the life of the believer, friends. A believer living in love, what do? They heal wounds. They preserve the gospel message. It preserves, it keeps the work of Christ inside of the lives of his people. It keeps hope from decomposing in someone's life. How many people have you met, you know, that were just down in the dumps, experiencing the traumatic turmoils of life, and they find themselves in a place where they call it hopelessness, but once they run into you, have you ever had somebody say, thank you, I needed this, I'm full of hope again? That's what we do, friends. We keep hope from decomposing. We keep faith inside of the lives of people, the community that we are. It's a powerful, powerful thing. What a parallel. John chapter 13, verse 34, and this, I want us to see the importance of love. Jesus said this. He says, a new command I give you. I don't know how many times we've read this scripture before. I'm certain you've read it many, many times. I'm certain it's been preached many, many times. If you've even come from another church, like this is probably one of the most used preached scriptures there is. A new command I give you, Jesus says. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. There's a word that I want to point out here, and it's that word new. That word new in the Greek is more than just what we see it as in English. Like, oh, it's something new. No, it's something different. There's a lot of emotion behind this word, a new command. That word in the Greek means kainos, which means this, of new kind. But this is what it means, unprecedented. novel, uncommon, unheard of. He's saying an uncommon, unheard of, unprecedented command I give to you. Love one another. He's talking about taking love beyond the meaning of what people understood it to be in that day. Meaning, let's take love to a new level. Let's take love to an unheard of level. Let's take love to an unprecedented state. Live in it. Attach it to everything you do. Meaning, more than just putting up with them. Some of you think you're having victory just by doing that. That's not what Jesus is talking about. More than just putting up with them. It's more than just putting up with them. Love one another. This is for the preservation of the gospel. Love. If you're not living in love, you are not preserving the gospel message of Christ with your life. I want to ask the worship team if they would to come. And if they would, just Tim, whatever song God puts on your heart there, brother. There's this, let's look at the last part of Matthew 5:13. He says, you're the salt of the earth. And this is what he says here. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Do you see like the almost the warning sign here that Christ is saying here? The importance of not losing your saltiness. I parallel salt losing its saltiness to a believer losing their love. To a believer separating themselves from the commands God has for their life. You're a Christ follower. What good is a Christ follower who's not following? Right? I didn't sign up for Jesus, Inc., right? This just isn't like just something that I'm a member of. It's something that I play a role in. I play a part in, I lead in, you lead in, that we are to live out the commands that Jesus gives us. And when you don't live out those commands, friends, look at what he's saying here. What good is that? Right? If you put some salt on there in your mouth and there was no, you wouldn't want it. There'd be no purpose for it. We got to be careful that we ensure that what is coming out on display of our lives. Do you hear what I said? What is coming out on display from our lives is what Jesus commands to come out on display from our lives. Love, 551 times, is commanded to come out on display of our lives. Journey Kids last week did an object lesson, and I yelled at them for this. Because it was so good, they should have told me so that I could do it here. Amen. I'm like, how come you didn't tell me about that? It was just genius. But they had this silly string fight at the end of their experience last week. And they said, all right. And just, it was a silly string revival. Just going all over the place. And afterwards, you know, and they're spraying it on each other. They're spraying it on the leaders. They're spraying it everywhere. And afterwards, the chapel leader said, okay, now I want you guys to take all the silly string and put it back in the bottles. And they're like, huh? You know? And it was a really great point, a great lesson that they used to show the kids to guard your mouth from saying evil things. Because once they're said, just like the silly string, they can't be put back. For those of you who think our children's ministry down there just playing around, let me tell you something, that's a powerful lesson right there. And I begin to think about that, even in the context of this. We have one life to live. We have one life to give. And we can't rewind it and do it over. So what should we do? We should make sure that what comes out on display of our lives, what comes out on display from your mouths, husbands to wives, wives to husbands, parents to kids, kids to parents, neighbors to neighbors, employees to employers, employers to employees, church brother to church brother, church sister to church sister, in the webbed interactions that we have, in our networks that sit inside of our world, we must make sure what comes out on display from our lives to our enemies is love. But here's the thing about all this, and this is what I want you to see. Can you put that first verse back up there, Darren? Jesus said, this is you. This is you. Do you see yourself as this? That's my prayer today. See yourself as this. See yourself as who God says that you are. Because who you see yourself as is what your life will do and what your life will follow. I want to ask our leadership team if they would to come up to the front, and our communion teams if they would to come up. We're closing. Can we stand to our feet, Journey Church? Jesus says, this is you. You are the salt of the earth. Jesus says, this right here is who he has called you to be. I encourage you, when you get home or even before you leave today, if you've got a paper Bible, right above that word you, just write your name. Jesse is the salt of the earth. It's very important that we see that we are who Christ says we are. Because when you, how you see yourself, like I said, who you see yourself as determines what you do. If you see yourself as an addict, you will always struggle. And guess what you'll do? You'll always struggle. If you see yourself as someone who will never find love, guess what? You ain't ever going to find love. If that's who you see yourself as, if you see yourself as a bitter person, and there are people that see themselves like that. I've had people tell me that. I'm a bitter person. Got it from my daddy. That's how you see yourself. That's who you're going to be. If you see yourself as an unforgiving person, guess what? So here's the closing prayer today. And there are some of you that need to pray in your seat. But there are some of you that need to team with a leader in this room here today and overcome the identities that you are putting on yourself. Because this needs to be the prayer here today. God, I put your identity on me today. I walk out of this place with your identity. I walk out being who you said I am and not who others say I am. I'm not whatever they are, whatever people say you are, whatever you've struggled to say you are that stand opposed to what God's word says about you. You are the salt of the earth. I believe people are going to be healed in this room today from some wounds. Right? There's some of you that are struggling with some wounds. You need to come up here and get some prayer and let us rub a little salt in that wound. Amen. Huh? Just a little salt in that wound. I mean, no, I don't want to salt the wound. That sounds like it hurts. Healing hurts sometimes. I don't think we talk about that too much. Healing hurts. Healing doesn't feel good all the time. Many times healing hurts. Let's sort through those things. Let's see things through the eyes of faith. Let's get healing in your life, in your marriage, in your home, whatever's blocking you. Maybe it's the job direction you can't see. You don't know where to go. You don't know what road. Let's put a little salt on that path. Let's put a little salt on that road here today. Let's have an experience, an encounter with God. Amen. So we're going to dismiss from the back to the front.